and very exciting. But just to put context to it, this is how we come to the Lord with everything that we have, all of our hard stuff and good stuff. We bring it to the Lord. We don't ignore the good stuff and play, or the bad stuff and play that game of, oh, just don't look at the bad stuff, just look at the good stuff. We don't play that game. We bring everything, the good and the hard stuff, to the Lord and to Scripture. And with that, we look at today's passage. And I love today's passage because I love it when I come across a passage that I've read before, but then one day I read it, and I read it as though I've never heard it before. And that's exciting. And I'm like, has this piece of Scripture always been here? Have you ever had one of those moments, or many of those moments? Like, I hope so. That's what this morning's passage is like for me. This passage and others that I'm going to be mentioning speak of the Lord's desire, His eager desire to act on behalf of His children, to do something for them. He is ready and He is willing to do something for us. God's word this morning will encourage you because of how marvelous He is. These truths speak to our hearts and our souls and our minds because they are incredibly beautiful truths from the Lord. Let's pray together and then look at these passages. Father, we come to You and we say, You are Lord. And we say, we are Your children. We are the ones who worship You. And we are saying and confessing that we need correction. We need encouragement. Would You do that this morning, Father, with Your word? May we be open. May we be paying attention today. May we be corrected with Your word. Lord, come. We are willing. Lord, come. Do Your work in our hearts and our minds for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Sheesh, this is happening at the beginning of the sermon. I don't know how I'm going to struggle through this thing then. Israel used to be one nation under King Saul, under King David, under King Solomon. But then it split into the northern and the southern kingdom. It split into Israel and into Judah. And they didn't like each other. And this is seen in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. The king of Israel had an idea to rebuild a strategic city which he could use to disrupt things for Judah. But when the king of Judah found out about this building project, he contacted the king of Syria, the king of, I think the other translation, king of Aram, I think it said. And with a large amount of silver and gold, he persuaded the king of Syria to end his treaty and his relationship with Israel and become allies with Judah. Syria switched from being Israel's friend to being their enemy. And Syria attacked Israel, defeated some of their cities, and this all resulted in Israel abandoning the building project of that strategic city. So Judah's all happy, right? The king is all happy that his idea worked and that he really stuck it to Israel by turning one of their allies on them. But then God sent a message to the king of Judah saying in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 7 to 8, because you relied on the king of Syria and you did not rely on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Syria has escaped you. You missed your chance to destroy the army of the king of Syria. Verse 8, were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because you relied on the Lord, He gave them into your hand. That's what the passage says. So you see, God had defeated Judah's enemies before He crushed those huge armies. When Judah relied on the Lord. But now the king of Judah relies on Syria to defeat their enemy. Why? Well, maybe he's thinking he could take care of this situation on his own. Or maybe he didn't trust in the Lord. Whatever it is, we don't know. But he didn't trust, he didn't go to God. God's message continues in verse 9. And this message reveals so much about God. Listen to this. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward Him. This is a huge self-revelation God has made, and it should completely thrill all of those who are saved by grace through faith in the life, death, and resurrection of God the Son, Jesus Christ. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. His eyes roam the whole earth, going back and forth, searching the whole earth. Why? To help out a little bit? To try to see if He can be useful to anyone? No. To give strong support, to give strength, to show Himself strong, to powerfully move on behalf of someone. And for who does He want to move powerfully? Those whose heart is blameless toward Him, committed to Him, perfect before Him, wholly His. Well, who is that? Today, right now, it's those who have repented of their sin and put their faith and trust in the death of Jesus Christ for the removal of that sin and are covered with the perfect, righteous life of Jesus Christ. They are new creations who have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, who have been brought from death into life and belong to God and have the Holy Spirit living inside of them. And even though they sin, they are not found in their sin, but are blameless before the Holy God because they are found in Christ. They are committed to God, blameless before God, perfectly righteous in Christ. Church, that's me and that's you. God is on the hunt. He is gunning for His children all over the earth, ready to support them with His power. What kind of power are we talking about? The power that created the universe. The power that raised Christ from the dead. The power that the devil and all of hell cannot defeat. That's the power that the Lord is ready and eager and looking to bring to His children. Church, that's our Heavenly Father. This is the Lord, the Holy God. Praise the Lord. Same type of thing Judah did here happened a different time with Israel. In Isaiah chapter 30, Israel was in trouble with their enemy, Assyria. And so they went to Egypt for help, not to the Lord. God told them that this plan of theirs would end in disaster. Egypt wouldn't be able to help them, wouldn't be able to come through on any of their promises. And all that effort of sending money to Egypt to get them to work on Israel's behalf was wasted. It's all a waste of time. Israel just didn't believe in the Lord to save them. They believed man could save them. And they just wouldn't listen to the Lord. This sounds like us today, doesn't it? Trust in doctors. Trust in politicians. Trust in the justice system. Trust ourselves. But not God. Israel even told their prophets to say nice things. Say things that make us feel good. Not God's word. That stuff is making me so uncomfortable. Don't tell me that stuff. And that too sounds familiar. Pastor, stop talking about sin and God's judgment and stuff like that. It doesn't make me feel good. And I want to feel good. Church is supposed to make me feel good. But because of Israel's unbelief and actions, they were told they will suffer. They will receive judgment from the Lord. But God is so good. After Israel receives God's punishment, God says He will send His grace. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. The Lord waits to be gracious to you. He's ready to pour out His grace on them. The word waits also means longs. He has an earnest, a strong desire, a craving to be gracious. He is ready and willing to show mercy to his foolish, rebellious people. He tells them, hey, the time is coming when you will turn back to me and I will bless you with good things. Blessings from the Lord, they are coming. This is what the Lord is like, longing to be gracious to his people. So not only is God searching and ready and eager to strengthen his children, he is longing and eager to be gracious and good to them. Church, that's how God is toward us. That's how he is toward us. And it gets better, can it? Yes! Listen to this well-known psalm, Psalm chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So God is the good shepherd with his children, leading them, sustaining them, protecting them. And check out verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. This isn't a following casually behind, like get in line, like bringing up the rear or just at the end of the line. A more accurate translation is follow me is pursue me, pursue, chase, run after, harass. Steady kindness and support from God can be counted on. We can have full confidence in God's loyalty. No enemies pursuing us, but God's goodness and mercy and love will be our companion for our lifetime. His goodness and mercy will be chasing us down throughout our lives. He is eager to bless us and will chase us down and pour his strength and his goodness and mercy onto us. Church, that's what our relationship with the Lord is like. Does this mean there will be or should be no hard stuff or bad stuff happening in our lives? No. But it means all of it will be faced with God's strength, with his goodness, with his grace, and with his mercy. And why wouldn't he be this way toward us? Why wouldn't he? Look what he's done with Christ. Romans 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also, with him, graciously give us all things? God wants us to look at Jesus Christ, to see how precious Jesus is to him, to see how he sent his precious Jesus to die for the sin of who? For you and for me. So God's given the best gift ever. Nothing, absolutely nothing can compare to the gift of Jesus Christ. Everything you own or have accomplished, or whoever you think you are, is nothing in comparison to Jesus Christ. God has given him for us. He has given himself for us. So what's off limits for God and Jesus to give us? Nothing. They will give us all things for our good. What is good for us, according to God, will be given. Of course, he will give you peace, comfort. He will sustain you, grow you, protect you, give you worth, guide you, heal you, give you an eternal home, assurance of your salvation, sanctify you. He will give you all of that when it's right according to his limitless wisdom. God is a giver and he loves it. Loves it. Jesus is a giver and he loves it. Mark 10, verse 45, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." He came to give his life. He came to bless us, to give us his goodness and mercy and grace and righteousness, and to provide forgiveness. Jesus came to do good to us. God is so good. I heard a song recently, and one of the lines was, "You can't give too much love." It was on the radio. It was a secular song, so of course it's that crazy romantic love type stuff. You can't give too much love. It's never too much. You just need to keep on giving and giving and giving. And I guess in some sense we could do that. We could focus in on someone and just pour love onto them, ready to serve them, ready to encourage them, ready to give to them, ready to protect them, always sacrificing for them, always looking out for them. But in reality, it seems like that's just stuff songs are made of, not real life. We don't love like that. Not just because of our own selfishness and sin, but because of people's flaws, their sins, their mistakes and selfishness. That all gets in the way and we pull back. We can't seem to put up with all of that for too long. Now, can you imagine what God puts up with from you and I? Can you imagine just our thoughts? All the selfish and mean and prideful, sinful thoughts we have in just one day. And how we justify all that kind of thinking, or we see nothing wrong with it, and it's just who we are. It's just who we are. God puts up with so much from us, but actually, he's better than putting up with us. He fully sees all of our actions, all our thoughts and motivations, the truth behind everything he sees. And he's not overlooking those things or so infatuated with us like young lovers that he's blind to our sin or overlooks our sin because we're just so cute or has forgotten our sin. He hasn't forgotten anything. But rather with everything about us, full disclosure and bare before the Lord, he sees us, he has forgiven us of our sin because of Jesus' death on the cross, and he sees us covered with Jesus' righteousness. And therefore, he is eager to do good to us. He is eager to give us strong support. He is eager to pour mercy onto you. He is not waiting for you to slip up so he can drop the hammer on you. He is chasing you down with his goodness and his mercy. He's given Christ to purchase your salvation. Christ came to give his life up. There's nothing greater to give than Christ. So the gates of God's kingdom are open, ready to pour down on us, and that gives the Lord incredible pleasure. So, if you're heading into a court case, if you're going for a health update from your doctor, or you've recently been diagnosed with some illness or a disease, or your back pain or hip pain or migraines are firing up, or you need a job or a place to live, or are grieving the loss of a loved one, or struggling with mental health, or struggling with getting older, or you're lonely, or you made poor financial decisions and you're in trouble, or you have family issues where parents or spouse or children or grandkids have some strange things going on, or you have relational conflict, or have questions about the Bible, or struggle trusting God, or are troubled by what's going on in the world and you're fearful. Whatever is going on in your life, the Lord is eager to do good to you. That good might be an immediate change to your situation in some way, maybe removing the problem and fixing it, or sustaining you with strength and peace and hope. His grace is on you. He has saved you. So really, your greatest need has already been met. His greatest gift has already been given. So trust Him. Trust Him. He is hunting you down with His goodness and His mercy. He is waiting to pour His grace on you. He is looking to give you His strong support. To you! This is aimed at you who are saved by Jesus Christ. Now, this is going to take a while for this truth to sink into my head and my crazy way of thinking. This whole expecting God to actually bless me. Because when I have something that someone else expects me to give them, if I have something that you need and you expect me to give it to you, my reaction is, I don't want to give it to you. I know, I'm weird that way. When the boys are going out to some kind of a school function or out with their friends and they cost money, and I ask them, who's going to pay for it? And they totally assume and expect that I'm going to be paying for it. That makes me not want to pay for it. I think this way with the Lord, though, too. Edgar, don't expect too much from the Lord. Because if you're expecting it from Him, then you're going to get a little bit lazy, and He's going to look at you and He's going to go, that guy's lazy. I'm not going to do it. I'm holding my blessing back. You're on your own. Go ahead, do it yourself. That's what I expect from the Lord. Because we transfer our thinking with how we operate or how our parents operate or people operate toward us. And we throw that on the Lord. And that's what I throw up on the Lord. I say, I don't think He's ready and willing. I don't think so. He's waiting for me to mess up. That's what He's doing. But that is anti-Bible. It goes against Scripture. The Lord is overflowing with grace and mercy and riches. And you know what? He enjoys all His grace and mercy and riches. He enjoys Himself fully, and He enjoys giving them to you and to me because He loves you and He loves me. And what makes God even more incredible is He's not just waiting for us to come to Him. He is chasing us down to bless us. Surely His goodness and His mercies shall pursue me all the days of my life. And He doesn't get tired. He keeps up this pursuit and blessing. He just keeps on coming and coming. His intensity toward us is like the intensity of the sun. It just doesn't stop, but keeps on burning and burning. While our intensity toward Him is like a little barbecue lighter that clicks a few times, and then we forget to push the thing forward with our thumb, and then we finally get it and we flick it on and the flame just flickers a bit. His pursuit of us is with intensity, and He doesn't stop. He doesn't stop. Listen, when I'm preaching this stuff, when I got this stuff ready, I was thinking, oh yeah, here we go, Edgar, you're preaching prosperity theology. And I personally think prosperity theology is heresy. I think it's heresy. This is not prosperity theology. This is an accurate depiction of the Lord, how He has revealed Himself in Scripture. We are not all going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. We're not. We're not. We're going to be sick, we're going to struggle with stuff, and we're all going to die. And some of us are going to be poor, and we're making ourselves poor because we're not good decision makers. We're not. This is not about that. This is about the Lord looking at His children. He's sanctifying us. He's making us more like Jesus Christ. And He's looking at us with this smile on our face and this excitement. You know, I look at Rod back there. You got your baby back there, don't you? Little Joel's back there. I see you guys keep looking down at him with this smile and not paying attention to me, but looking at him and smiling. Of course, that is a picture of what the Lord is like. He looks at us. He's still got you in his radar, but he's looking at me. He's looking at Edgar, and he's going, "Well, that's my boy. Oh, I love that guy. I am ready. I am coming at him with my good stuff. Edgar, why are you thinking I'm coming at you with my harsh stuff? What is that all about? I'm coming at you with my good stuff. And you know what? Sometimes my good stuff, it's discipline, and it's hard to take. But it's still good stuff. Sometimes you're going to suffer, but it's still good stuff. Because big picture, you're going to be okay." This is the Lord. This is the Lord. We have got it so good, guys. We have got it so good. Let's continually come to the Lord with our hands open and are ready to be corrected in our thinking. He is so good to us. And did you notice a chunk of this came from the Old Testament? If anybody ever says to you, "I'm a New Testament Christian, I don't read the Old Testament," you tell them they better smarten up. Because that's wrong thinking. Yeah, let's pray. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Father, this is often I hear this and there's a piece of me that goes, easy, it's too good to be true. Easy. Don't go for it. Easy. Lord, I ask that you would remove that easy talk. Lord, that all of us would embrace your truth. That you are for us. Not against us. You are for us. And you are for us like nobody here on earth is for us. You are over the top for us. Lord, let that penetrate our hearts. And let that overflow in our lives into all the situations that we come into, that we face. All the things that we mentioned during our prayer time, these huge things. Lord, may we face all of that. All of that. Knowing that you are for us. And that you are eager to bless us with your goodness as we are in those situations and moving into those situations. And Lord, we know there is more coming. There is stuff that's going to happen this year that is not going to feel good. And Lord, we don't want to be people, we don't want to be worshipers of you that are just moving along on our feelings. We want to be locked into your word. And we want to move forward in whatever situation comes up with trust in you according to your word. So Father, bring it. We have bad thinking going on in our minds. We have bad thinking going on in our hearts. We desperately need your correction. So please, Father, come into our church family and stir us up. Stir up a hunger for your word, that we would never be satisfied with one devotion, with one little line and then a huge paragraph of a story on a beach somewhere. Father, that we would dig into your word and drink and eat and drink from your word and know you better from your self-revelation. Father, make us readers of your word. Make us hungry for your word. And then release us to live in abundant life, which we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, we want that. We want that. Remove the obstacles. Remove the obstacles, Lord. Yeah. In Jesus' name we ask this. In Jesus' name, our Lord and Savior, who we are found in, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.